Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Get ready, America. Good martinis today. Today's a special occasion, by the way. It's going to be a busy summer. Both of us will be taking vacations soon. Convention season is upon us. So over the next month, there's only going to be a handful of times where both of us are here, but rest assured, everything's fine with the Three Martini Lunch, and by the end of July, everything will be back to normal, although, of course, who gets nominated to be president means normal could be radically redefined. Jim, before we get on to our first good martini, yesterday we were talking about how the FBI has apparently lost track of the wife of the Orlando shooter, and I didn't give you enough credit yesterday because you were talking about it's possible maybe she just decided she was going to Disney World. And I was thinking, well, now we know why she disappeared. She goes to the theme park. She thinks she's going to get away from it all. And all of a sudden, an unmarked car with maybe some dark ears on top swings by. They swoop her into the van. All of a sudden, they show up at this bucolic little clubhouse with what looks like a shoe out in the middle of the country. And then there's a dark ops site inside and some serious interrogations going on. With Goofy in charge of that, maybe Daisy chloroformed her when she walked in the door. All sorts of possibilities, because she's clearly gone off the grid, and I just put two and two together. I don't know.
If Disney CTU is real, then we owe everyone an apology for underestimating the company. You're making this as a joke, Greg, but somebody did say to me, is there any chance law enforcement let the wife go, thinking she would lead them to someone else, some other co-conspirator or somebody else who was in their inner circle, somebody else who might have been someone. And I suppose that's a possibility, and it wouldn't be I know it might shock people, the thought of Loretta Lynch lying, but even more surprising, like, this could be a lie with a good purpose. We have no idea where she is, and they actually are following her. So in that case, I will give them, in that slim possibility that that's a scenario, I'll give them credit. I like Disney CTU a lot better. The idea that there's this bunker underneath the big dome at Epcot Center that's kind of the Disney Gitmo.
I think that could be fantastic. I just picture Goofy saying, I've got all day, and I've got... Possibilities are endless. But let's get to the actual news that we can confirm and on the Good Martini. Today at the Supreme Court was a mixed day for a number of reasons, but the case we're going to focus on in the Good Martini is a thrilling 4-4 tie. Now, that's because that was the case involving the president's unilateral action on immigration, which critics such as us often refer to as executive amnesty. The president did this shortly after the 2014 midterms, decided that after years and years of saying he didn't have the power to grant legal status to people in the country illegally, he decided to do it for about 5 million people. About half the states vigorously resisted. The district court and the appellate court sided with the states. And today, a 4-4 decision from the Supreme Court. Obviously, if Justice Scalia would have been alive, you think it would be 5-4 in favor of the states, and the decision would carry a whole lot more weight. But as it stands, the program is blocked until this comes back to the court, and that's great news.
Yeah, look, we would have loved to have had a 5-4 or bigger, more definitive ruling in this case. It's one of those things where you sometimes hear from folks in the conservative grassroots some irritation that, oh, you know, Republicans ever do anything. You know, Obama legalized all these illegal immigrants through executive order. He didn't. He tried to. He wanted to. He spent his first term saying, oh, I don't have the power to do that. And then in his second term said he did. But fairly quickly, Republicans at the state level said, no, you don't have the authority to do this. This is going beyond the explicit powers of the presidency. You can't set immigration policy solely by yourself from the Oval Office. A judge, I believe it was in New Orleans, a federal judge, said basically, no, you cannot go forward with this while we are litigating this. And that's where it stood. And so actually the immigration executive order for illegal immigrants basically stayed in place, unenacted, not put into law during this time. And now because of the split, it's not going to go into effect. As much as, you know, we might have preferred a better victory, this means the Obama executive order is, you know, never going to go into effect, that this lower court decision stays in place. Kind of an angle I bet you we're going to hear more of in the coming days. Doesn't this kind of vindicate the decision to not confirm Garland by the Senate GOP?
100%.
There's a reason we do this. Now, the affirmative action decision came down wrong. I mean, you are gambling when you have eight justices, or it came down in a way that disappointed conservatives. But this might be the best case scenario and the best the conservatives can hope for in a situation like this. And this means there's not going to be another 4 to 5 million new voters or people who are no longer in fear of deportation because of the Obama suddenly deciding he had the power to do this.
All right, well, we'll take that as a good martini, but they get even better because yesterday when we talked about Marco Rubio announcing he was, in fact, going to run for Senate, we talked about how he was leading both of the Democratic candidates, Patrick Murphy and Alan Grayson, by about the same margin, about 8 points. And you referred to Patrick Murphy as a generic Democrat. When they talk about generic Democrat, they're really talking about Patrick Murphy. And again, you were more accurate than you realized, because when it comes to the generic Democrat, it's kind of a bland face, promises to do all the Democratic things, and completely lying about your resume. Thanks to the good folks at the CBS affiliate in Miami, they decided to dig a little bit, really just to do a story about his life, and then they just ran into lies, or at least extreme exaggerations. In 2014, when he ran for re-election to the House, he was asked in a debate to detail the professional and life experiences which qualify him to serve in Congress. Quote, "I would say my background is a CPA. Also being a small business owner, you know, someone that can relate to those concerns of small business owners, I think is particularly important." And as Jim DeFade of CBS Miami points out, and you've got this all as your lead story in the Morning Jolt today, Murphy has never been a CPA in the state of Florida because apparently he's flunked the CPA test a bunch of times. He did get a license to do it in Colorado because the standards are so much lower, but he's never actually done any CPA work in Florida, you know, where he was running for office. And as far as his small business ownership, yeah, he worked for his dad. So it doesn't actually mean that he's ever run a small business. So apparently the two top criteria for him just to serve in the House, Jim, are gone now that he's trying to run for the Senate.
Yeah. And now the question is, do you find it easier and better to go with, for Democrats, do you go with this guy who's been exposed as an empty suit? You know, yesterday's comment about him as the generic Democrat in part was because, you know, Murphy's been around for a couple terms, but now not terribly well known for anything. He beat Alan West. Some of that had to do with flaws in West's campaign, but a lot of it was just that the lines of the district were drawn very dramatically to make it more Democratic. And Murphy had kind of the wind at his back going into that. It's 2012, presidential election, big turnout, he wins it. Fine. But he just kind of sits there and somehow rises in the ranks of Florida Democrats, in part because there weren't as many. We all know they ended up recruiting Charlie Crist. They're taking Republican Party castoffs as their top talent there. But so the CBS affiliate in Miami really looks into him and finds out that, you know, what's Patrick Murphy done with his life? Not that much. And people say, oh, who are you to cast stones? Look, you know, it's not just the what has he done with his life. It's also a question of what he says he's done doesn't line up with the facts. And he says he's a CPA, but he's never practiced as a CPA in Florida. Took the test in Colorado because it was a lot easier there. Now, I've heard, as the son of a CPA, how hard the CPA exam is. I don't want to kind of, you know, scoff and like, oh, anybody can do that. It's tough. But Patrick Murphy had to take the exam 9 times.
9 times.
All right. So look, okay, so maybe it wasn't that great. The other thing I found really odd and strange was that, so his old boss, they contacted the firm there was at, and he says, I don't really remember him very well. This is the guy who signed the form saying he'd done the work to be the CPA for his exam out in Colorado. And he was his boss for several years. Greg, do you remember what you were doing from 2007 to 2009?
I sure do. I was working here.
All right. It's not that long ago, right? And if one of your coworkers, hey, do you remember Patrick? He got elected to Congress. I mean, wouldn't you just kind of at least find out? Maybe you liked him. Maybe you didn't like him. Maybe you found him a pain. You know, but like, I just don't remember much about him. That seems a little strange to me that his boss, he didn't deny that, you know, he worked there and all that stuff. He just didn't have much to say about him, which is unusual. And then the second thing is on the business, you know, you read between the lines, you can tell this was set up very quickly as part of the oil spill in the Gulf so that he could do something. They had 2 boats. They did a couple months worth of skimming work up there. And then the boats went into storage and basically have just sat there for a couple of years. So this small business never made a profit, never did very much. It was just kind of this strange, you almost wonder as this privileged child of a wealthy guy, whether this was kind of make work for him or something he could do, since it pretty clearly was operating as a subsidiary of his father's company. So what's Patrick Murphy done with his life? I don't know whether this was CBS Miami welcoming Marco Rubio back to the Senate race. And you got to wonder, do Democratic primary voters say, eh, we'll go with him because the alternative is Alan Grayson, or do they go with the most obnoxious member of Congress ever as their Senate choice, who, by the way, also had his own kind of financial scandals and who Harry Reid said, Alan Grayson is too corrupt for Harry Reid to support. Just put that in perspective, though. Just let that sit for a while and contemplate that. Almost like we're doing a Katie Couric documentary. Just contemplate that for a moment. those are the options for Florida Democrats. And if you're Marco Rubio, I don't know if you wanted to be back at the Senate, but the outlook for him in November is looking pretty good.
Looking better, yeah. I think if there's a tiebreaker here between the guy with the conventional resume that's not true and the guy with the dumpster fire resume that is true, they're probably going to go with Murphy because he didn't turn a profit, and that's a good thing among Democrats now. They don't like profits.
To his credit with Grayson, though, he is an authentic jerk. He's not pretending to be a jerk. There's nothing phony about him. Every time he has destroyed decorum in a way that will offend Donald Trump, he has done it genuinely himself. He's not running on obnoxious father's coattails.
All right, on to the final good martini now. And Donald Trump is actually the good martini. There's not any twist here. There's nothing bad that happened to him. He gave a speech yesterday that absolutely smacked around the record of Hillary Clinton and how terrible she is, both from her personal corruption, how she's a world-class liar, how she was just an awful Secretary of State. And so a couple of clips here. One is how Hillary has enriched her and her husband through her work at the State Department.
Hillary Clinton has perfected the politics of personal profit and even theft. She ran the State Department like her own personal hedge fund, doing favors for oppressive regimes and many others, and really many, many others, in exchange for cash.
When it came to being Secretary of State,
the Hillary Clinton foreign policy has cost America thousands of lives and trillions of dollars, and unleashed ISIS across the world. No Secretary of State has been more wrong, more often, and in more places than Hillary Clinton.
Jim, he even got specific about blaming her for Benghazi. I don't remember Bernie Sanders even using the word Benghazi on the trail, talking about Syria and basically that thousands of people lost their lives, the rise of ISIS, everything as it was in 2009 has gotten worse as a result of the 4 years that Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. Not sure he's the most credible messenger on character and in government and all that sort of thing, but his accounting of the Hillary Clinton record is pretty much spot on.
You and I, or in particular myself, Greg, have been harsh on Donald Trump. We have been critical of Donald Trump pretty much from the beginning. I am a never Trump guy, but I feel the need to give him credit when he does something well. And this was a well-delivered speech. It was pretty well-researched. I pretty much made the comprehensive case against Hillary, and Trump did that well. And I think it was Ala Pundit at Hot Air who said, you know, if he had done that pretty much since the end of the primaries, and not gone off on, you know, denouncing the judge in the case as Mexican, and not gone off on, you know, our troops are stealing from Iraq. And, you know, if he didn't get distracted, if he just focused on the job of making the case against Hillary, one, Republicans would be a lot more unified. No matter what policy divisions or ideological divisions exist within the party, there's a pretty broad agreement that Hillary Clinton is a bad person who has personally enriched herself, who has not been good or effective in the jobs that she had, who basically kind of embodies the status quo and everything we don't like about politics in Washington since 1992. Trump said this well. If he continues to do this, you may see some air coming out of the balloon of the effort to replace him at the convention. He's off to Scotland today. I believe he'll be addressing reporters from the eighth hole of his golf course. No meetings with any U.S. U.K. government officials. He continues to do things a little bit differently than a traditional Republican candidate. We will see if this is just one good day or this is a genuine pivot point and turnaround for Trump. I'm a little skeptical, but Greg, the entire speech I was waiting for him to say, and that's why we've revealed Hillary is a Muslim. and just completely botching everything. And he didn't do that. He managed to, you know, stay on message for a day. So I give him credit for that. Some folks kind of said, well, big deal. I think it was one commentator that said something like, look, one day doesn't make a streak. No, but you know what, Greg? It takes one day to interrupt a streak.
Yes, it does.
And his streak of bad days came to an end. And so for that, congratulations, Mr. Trump. You managed to not screw anything up for a day. A brief bravo. We'll return to our regularly scheduled programming of criticizing you probably in the not too distant future. But for now, I want to say, you know, good job, Trump.
When was the last time we had three good martinis?
Oh, it's been a long time.
What a way to send you out on vacation. Jim, have a great time, and I'll talk to you soon.
See you probably a week and change, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Friday for the next Three Martini Lunch.